we sang that song, He Knows My Name. And we even started out the service with This Love. And one of the things I want us to realize today and just kind of remember and get deep within our souls and our spirits is about His love for us. But I first off want to start with a scripture in Genesis 49. If you could put that up there on the board for us, please. Genesis 49. This scripture in all of the Bible is the most relevant, the very most relevant, believe it or not, I searched it, the most relevant scripture for today's Super Bowl. Everybody get that? You've got 49 and you've got Chief all in one scripture. Coincidence? I think not. So obviously we can tell by this scripture who's going to win. No, we can't. Well, and I wanted to kind of do this as a joke. I did search the scriptures. I spent too long searching the scripture for something relevant for today's Super Bowl until God said, Jeff, now you're being too cheesy. So, but I thought it was funny. But I tell you what's interesting about this. It kind of led me on this line of questioning. Because apparently today's Super Bowl's not that big a deal to God. It didn't even make it into the Bible. Really. I mean, if that's the closest we got to today's Super Bowl, it did not make it into the Bible. It's just not a big deal. But I got to thinking, what is a big deal to God? And I got to thinking, what in our lives do we make a big deal of that really maybe not should not be a big deal? What is a big deal to God? What did make it into the Bible? So I want to talk about that today because you know what a big deal is. I used to say this a lot. You're a pretty big deal to God. You are. You made it into the Bible. You're a pretty big deal. Now, I speak a lot about our focus on others. How in a Christian's life our focus should be outward and on other people. And that's very much true. I totally believe that. We need more of that today. But you know what we have to have before we correctly portray the immense extent of God's love to other people? We need to have a refreshing revelation and a knowledge of God's extensive love towards us. We need that first. I believe that we'll not be able to portray God's love correctly to others until we understand God's love towards us. Am I really a big deal? Did I really make it into the Bible? Let's look at some scriptures just to be certain. Because I know everybody's like, hey, I've heard this all my life. I believe it. We sing the songs. We quote the scriptures. I get it. But sometimes we need a very fresh revelation, fully understanding how much God really does love you. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, well, hey, that's me. I'm a man of God. M-O-G. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm more holy than anybody else. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It means that I belong to God. If you belong to God, you're a man or woman of God. Amen? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You remember equipped? Side note, what's that Greek word again? Remember? Jar Jar Binks? Misa oikodomo. Okay. And so the man of God may be equipped. That's us. And one scripture that I love when I think about this topic, John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus is praying famously called the priestly prayer. And he's praying this prayer, and he's praying for his disciples, for their not to be taken out of the world, but that they would be kept from the evil one, and protection and unity, a lot about unity. And he says this in verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Jesus prayed for you. My guess is most of us here today are here because we believe what the disciples said. We believe the account of the disciples when it comes to Jesus that we have on the Word of God. Jesus prayed for you. Think about that. Paul, in his letters, especially 1 Corinthians, was, in most of Paul's letters, he's pretty specific in who he's writing to, and that makes sense. But in 1 Corinthians, he uses phrases like, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, to the saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. Now, I want to make a distinction here, because a lot of college professors, biblical theologians and whatnot, they like to say this phrase, the Bible was written for you, not to you, right? We may have heard that. I've said that. And the sentiment of that teaching is that there's not everything in the Bible is not directly to you. So you have to be careful what you take as personal. It's all for you. It's all for the story. It all tells a whole story together, but not everything is specifically for you. Or we would all have sons named Isaac. Actually, I have a son named Isaac, but you get the point. So everything's not exactly to you, but everything is for you. However, I contend with some of those professors, Keith, because according to the Bible, some of it's written to me, I believe, like what Paul wrote there. Peter starts his book like this, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. That's me. That's you. Jude starts his book with, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. That's us. The book of Revelation begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants. I'm a bondservant. I'm a Christian. I'm serving God. That's me. And that's you. We made it as a main topic in the Holy Word of God. Congratulations, Lenny. Good job. You made it in the Bible. Ron, good job, brother. You made it in the Bible. Turn to someone and say, congratulations, you made it into the Bible. Right? Hey, let's not take it lightly. What's a big deal to God? We probably put it in his book. It would be us. You are a big deal to God. Now, that may seem elementary to some of us, but here's the point of what I think God wants us to know today. Distractions in this life slowly pull us away from living every day with the full understanding of God's love for each of us on a very individual basis. The distractions of this world hardened us a little bit. And we don't realize it, but we slowly change priorities. Our priorities slowly become shifted. We don't mean to do it, but they just do. It just happens. And all of a sudden, the things that should not be a big deal to us and to God, to us as Christians, becomes a big deal because it's slowly been shifted in that direction, right? So every once in a while, we need a fresh revelation of how much God loves you. I want you to have that today. I want you to think about it. I want you to get in your spirit, and I want you to attempt every day living in the knowledge that the creator of the universe loves you specifically, individually. Amen? Our Christian journey can sometimes become so corporate or so task-oriented that we begin to miss the intimacy of a very personal God. Amen? You know what I mean by that? We've seen it happen in people's marriages, probably. Some of us have seen that happen in some of our friends' marriages when it seems like the love dies, the care dies off. We need a fresh revelation of how God loves us so that we can live that out, so that we can appropriately and successfully show that love to other people. Amen. In Luke, let's look at individual characteristics of God. In Luke, some people were complaining about Jesus because he was hanging out with the undesirables. He taught them that there is an importance for searching for one individual. Luke 15:3, he told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And then when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in that same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 persons who need no repentance. Amen. If you're a Christian today, there was a point in your life when you were that one individual and God came after you. Think about that. He came after you. If you're not a Christian today, God is coming. God's coming after you. I don't mean that like God's going to get you. I mean God's pursuing you. He wants you to know him and his love. This analogy is important, the importance of searching for that one individual. Now, if we go to Matthew 10, in this chapter, Jesus is commissioning his disciples. In the second part of that chapter, Jesus begins to warn them, listen, this isn't going to be an easy road to hoe. It's going to be a tough road, right? And then he begins to tell them, but don't be afraid. Don't fear. Hang in there. Be bold with the message. Matthew 10:29, he says this, are not 2 sparrows sold for a cent, and yet one of them will fall to the ground? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. God knows you that intimately that he knows how many hairs you had on your head. He knows that for some of us, the numbers seem to change drastically every day. Hallelujah. Bless God. Is that what they call Christian cussing? I don't know. Bless. That's okay. Psalms 23. Let's look at that. I want you to see the intimacy that David writes here in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. Now let's stop there. I want you to realize there's 2 locations that David writes about in just these 6 verses. 2 locations. One location is the location of green pastures. plenty of food. It's wonderful there. Still waters. And the paths are paths laid out before you so that you can walk in good relationship with the Almighty. Paths of righteousness. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. But then there's a second location. Second location is the valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew words describe deep darkness. Anybody ever felt like you've gone through deep darkness? Anybody in deep darkness? No, don't raise your hand. Just think about it. He's talking about the second location is deep darkness. And he says that there's evil. He said, I'll fear no evil. It makes us think that there's evil around or harm or trouble. Reasons to fear. But he says, I will not fear because you are with me. There's another difference in these two locations. The first locations with the green grass and the still waters and the righteous paths. He says, he makes me, he leads me, he guides me. What about the second location in deep darkness, even though I walk? He didn't say, God directed me to this valley of the shadow of death. I wonder if David is letting us know and admitting to the fact that sometimes he gets off the path a little bit. He walks away from the direction of God sometimes, and God's leading, finds himself in the valley of deep darkness. I wonder if that's what he means. But here's the main importance of these six verses I want to point out to you. In both locations, the great location where there's plenty of food and water and provisions, and the other location that is deep darkness and trouble and evil and fear possible, God is with him. God is with me. And when God is with me, there's no reason to fear. Amen? When I realize that the individual love that God has for me specifically in the great days and in my very low days, I can navigate through that valley with more confidence and surety in my soul, more hope in my life that he's going to get me through to the other side, right? When I understand that kind of love and that kind of presence. Are you living with a conviction of the magnitude of God's love for you personally? That he would pay such a high price to adopt you into his family? Do we really live every day and realize that? Until we realize and recognize God's love for us personally, we will not be able to show that same extent of love to other people. Romans 8, 37 and 39 says this, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything created will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing that you do or have ever done will separate you from God's love for you. Man, that's huge. Amen. That's huge. I must be a big deal to God. You must be a big deal to God. Congratulations, Waylon. You're a big deal to God. Now, like I said, I know we all realize this, but I believe that there are those there here today, and I believe there are those watching today that desperately need a fresh realization of God's love for you personally. Sometimes we need to know that we are important. And we matter to the kingdom of God and to his family. and that we're not just getting through this life hoping to wind up on the good side of God so we make it into heaven. But we matter and we're important, and He loves you right now and wants you to live in that love. Because when we realize that, we will be better equipped to portray that love to those around us that need to know the very same thing. So today's Super Bowl did not make it as a topic in the Bible. And actually, football in general, or sports. And actually, maybe, perhaps many things that seem like a big deal in your life, maybe God's just trying to say, you need to chill on that. Focus on what's the big deal. What's the big deal? To God, you're the big deal. You made it as a main topic in the Bible, and the Super Bowl didn't. That means that you're more important than the Super Bowl. So what's the big deal? To God, you are. And we need to be confident of the depth of that truth. I know this, to some of you, I feel like this may be a very elementary teaching, but we need to be confident, so confident of that truth and the depth of that truth that we will be able to properly show others that kind of love. And until we understand that, we're not going to be able to adequately show people the love of God. Remember that every day. Live every day as if you are deeply loved by the creator of that day and everything in it, the everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing God, the God who calls you son or daughter, the God that invested in you his own spirit so we could commune with him, the God that knows your name.